The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Okay.
I've been an absolute whore for that this past summer, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just going to be a good soberino. Oh, I've been talking to Phil too much. Sober.
Yeah. Say no more.
I know. Jesus Christ. It's okay. He's not on this podcast. You know who's also not on this podcast is James, but he'll be back at some point because we are starting, baby. Hello and welcome to the NBC Gaming Podcast. We're noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gathered to discuss the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of game podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And to then we say, what's the charge? Enjoying a meal? Enjoying a nice, succulent Chinese meal? Huh?
Fuck. Wow.
Yeah, RIP.
I'm gonna bring that out.
RIP, man. All right. Well, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. And with me is also trying to enjoy a nice, succulent Chinese meal, Alex Cordova.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even give an enthusiastic yeah after that down. Just dropped one. So.
If you didn't know, the boy in the meme did unfortunately pass today, but also.
Why did he pass?
Heart attack. No, heart attack. It was cancer. It was prostate.
I was going to say, heart attack, not surprised. Too much Chinese
food. Yeah, not too much Chinese food. But also, I can't imagine that much Chinese food go for your prostate either. So, we have a little bit of a shorter episode today, so we could do good old quick bits. I haven't done it in a while. I'll take them if you want to cover SAG.
The fuck did you just call me?
All right, let's see it.
You want to do, how many is there? You want to do hat? No, just pound them out.
Let's pound them out, dude. We're going to pound town today, baby. Well, first quick bit is Legacy of Kain 1 and 2 remastered merchandise is seen at San Diego Comic-Con, and which, of course, means, yes, a remaster is coming. Now, next one, Fallout London mod is now available on GOG. Was that Games?
Galaxy of Games, I believe. It's CD Projekt Red's, I believe, own little launcher. Their own little launcher. I mean, it was whatever. I'm a Steam boy, but
yeah, I've seen it pop up here and there. So all right, GOG, there you go. Now, of course, Mortal Kombat 1 Chaos Reign DLC is announced, and the DLC characters are revealed. And we're talking Ghostface, Noob Saibot, Sektor, Cyrax, Conan the Barbarian, and the T-1000. This actually got leaked quite a while ago. I think we did a big old Mortal Kombat leak, a-thon, and this lines up. So, nice. This one pains me a little bit. The Netflix Bioshock film is still happening, but with a, quote-unquote, significantly reduced budget. Talk about that one for sure. Now, another fun news. Bungie lays off 220 employees even after the success of the Final Shape DLC. 25% of its studio in the past year. And, of course, the CEO is under fire for spending over $2 million on luxury vintage cars over the last 2 years. Holy shit. And, of course, the rumored Destiny 3 codenamed Payback has been canceled. That's fun. Fuck it. We'll go another bad news. Ready at Dawn Studios shut down by Meta. That's
AKA
right.
AKA Facebook.
Zuckerberg.
That piece of shit.
Yeah, all the Z dudes. They all fucking suck. We'll talk about another one coming up. Yeah. But yeah, the creators of Order 1886 and the PSP bangers God of War Chains of Olympus and Ghosts of Sparta, and of course, Daxter. They are no more. So, yeah, what you got on these quick bits, man? I got a couple ones I want to reflect on, but you let me know.
Let me talk about these bullshit layoffs and shutdowns.
Oh yeah, we got a couple back to back.
So Bungie, I believe we covered it. I mean, maybe it feels like it was just yesterday, but maybe a couple episodes ago, maybe in June. I mean, I'm sorry, maybe in February, January, or something. We talked about how they laid off a big percent of their workforce because of the failure of the Lightfall DLC.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that. I'm not sure. I should have looked up the actual episode number. But yes, we've talked about that. And then they came back with a vengeance. The Final Shape DLC is the quote-unquote final big piece of the DLC for the Destiny 2 franchise, the end all be all, and it was good.
I remember you say it was very, very good.
Yeah, there was a lot of content. There was the raid is absolutely fucking amazing. One of their most mechanically, not just a snooze fest raid. You have to actually know your shit, and it's just like it's crazy that's what people wanted, because the Lightfall raid was beat in, I think, 2.5 hours, first day one. And I think I mentioned before, too, that the final shape raid took over 17 to 18 hours for these pros, quote unquote, to beat.
That's a meaty DLC right there.
Yeah. And so they dropped it. You know, it's good. I loved it. I was playing it since it dropped on like June 4th, I believe. I've been playing it for 2 months straight. Mm. I'm taking a little break right now just because, you know, you can only play a game for so long. At least I can.
Yes.
Until you get a little burnt out. So I'm kind of giving it a back burner right now. But to me, though, everyone, it received awesome reviews. No one really badmouthed it. And then they still lay off 200 employees. Damn. It's just like, you know, what the fuck? You make a shitty DLC, you get laid off. You make a badass DLC, you get laid off. It's like...
You make Hi-Fi Rush, a renowned indie game that got you awards. Guess what? Whole studio got. Whole studio fucking got.
Yeah.
We are.
And the CEO, what the fuck is his name? Peter Parsons is his name. And
he sounds like a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, this motherfucker, dude. He got his check from Sony. And ever since Bungie got bought out by Sony, this fool has been on like I forgot the name of the vintage car auction online. It's a big one. But this fool has been constantly buying cars for the past 2 years. And it's like, it has totaled to over $2 million, right?
I'm looking at the number right now. It is at least 200, or not 200, $2,414,550 bucks.
Yeah, homeboy tried to justify by saying, oh, you know what? I let underprivileged kids come and take a ride in it, which sounds...
That sounds a little creepy, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I let him sit on my lap and everything.
He stopped just short of that, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, it's crazy right now. I mean, like, Destiny 2 was at a high with the final shape where they could have fucking just said, you know what? We're going to release Destiny 3, guys. And everyone would have been hyped for it. And then it turns out they're going to be like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to cut down. We're going to focus on this extraction shooter called Marathon, which I don't know about you, Fwen, but do you know of any extraction shooter that is just an absolute must play right now?
I don't know of any. Honestly, even the name Marathon's not very marketable. Like, I'm just like, is it a running sim? Like, what the?
Yeah.
Kind of fucking lame.
And just a little background here. If Call of Duty cannot make the extraction mode, quote unquote, an absolute game changer, I highly doubt Bungie can, because Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 released that DMZ mode, which was a mixture between a battle royale and like a extraction shooter, quote unquote, where you know, you're playing against the environment, PvE, and you're playing against other players, and the whole goal, quote unquote, of the game is to like survive as long as you can with as much loot as you can and then extract, right?
Sounds good on paper.
Yeah. But is it really going to be something that's going to bring money in? No. It's a cool fucking little game mode to play for maybe a couple maps. And then you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go back and be playing regular multiplayer. Like, what the fuck am I playing this shit for?
You're there for the bread and butter. That's right. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and another thing that I forgot to mention here, which recently came out, is that
you're running hot right now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, there was a leak, dude. There was a leak where these Bungie higher-ups were saying that, oh, for Destiny to survive, we need to find a way to bring in a younger audience, because the core Destiny target audience is all older gamers, right? They want to appeal to the young crowd. And I don't know about you, but maybe a rebranding of a new game would probably help. You know, if you bring out a game called like Destiny, the Final Destiny or Destiny 3. I don't know. I'm not a bigwig, you know. Mm-hmm. But to me, that seems like a good way to bring in fresh eyes to a franchise that's running on 10 years now.
I mean, the franchise already has a name. The franchise already has a name. And people, you know, they like old shit. They're at that point. I mean, come on. I think they definitely, I don't know, they disrespected their user base enough to where and that's a top down move. That's a CEO fucking move.
That's a fucking
not the developers who went out of their way to make it this amazing last run DLC.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's Mr. fucking CEO at the top that doesn't care about what the gamers want. He just cares about buying his fucking 200th vintage car to have little kids allegedly driving his car with. So
yeah they got a picture of him on Reddit too.
He looks like a piece of shit, doesn't he?
He definitely looks somebody who would just bleed a company dry and be like, well, sucks to suck.
So Bungie, they were on the up and up, and now it sucks. Like, Twitter was all over it, man. People were like, wow, I just came into work today and I found out my password doesn't work because I've been there.
Oh, we got a couple more of those fucking stories right there too. I mean, but to be fair, because of this story, they have created a Pete Parsons Classic Cars tier list maker, so you can rank all of his cars, and boy, do some of them look kind of shitty. Actually, it looks Volkswagen, Dole. Yeah, I'm honestly.
See, and I could have swore too that didn't we cover, maybe in the early days of this podcast, didn't we say that the Nintendo CEO,
Iwata,
didn't he take a pay cut because you sold like shit, right?
That's despite Nintendo having so much money in their coffers they can afford to lose for 50 years,
right?
Yeah,
and to me, that's why people are always talking shit about like. Japan. Oh, why are you guys wearing masks and shit? It's like, dude, their culture is just like based on respect.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. Like, I would love to go and just visit Japan because I've heard nothing but good things about going there. And it's, in the gaming news.
Yeah.
Iwata's like, fuck, I fucked up. I'm going to take a pay cut. I'm not going to lay people off.
Capcom, same way.
Yeah, Capcom.
When they give you the on-disc DLC, it's fine. But they got past that era. They're fine now. Now they're good.
So, yeah. God, it just, like, it sucks. Bungie. And then Ready at Dawn, dude, like, I was not even aware that they got bought out by Meta, a.k.a. Facebook. So.
Yeah. It looks like, I don't know. But to me, like. Ready at Dawn, it seems like that was a saving grace for them. That was our Hail Mary. Like, okay, Meta's got us, so that means we can continue to do our thing. It seems that the light was out at that point. I don't know. Yeah. It's going to happen with some of these developers, unfortunately. Like, they have a good enough legacy, but not enough of a recent one to survive. Big company knows they can get something out of them, but when they don't, that's it. The door's fucking cut.
Well, to me, I read that they didn't even... They had something in development for their stupid-ass MetaQuest VR or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it never came out. And it's like, well, what the fuck do you expect? Like...
You didn't give a chance?
Yeah, exactly, right? And they fucking absolutely, like, squeezed the PSP for every ounce of power and made all their PSP games, those three that I listed right there, were all fucking 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 games. None of them had bad reviews. And, like, the Order 1886, that literally was, like, almost a launch PS4 game. And I think the only critique of that game is that it was, like, 5 hours.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't a bad, it was like an interactive, people called it a tech demo, but they never got a chance to follow that up. And
it really looks like since the Order, like, they've just been given meh. Yeah. And it just hasn't worked out for them, honestly. Like, it just sucks because it's a hemorrhaging studio at that point. So, but they don't have Parsons on their thing, so that's probably why they were able to go for a little bit longer. I mean, in terms of the other news, we're going to run through it because we still got three big stories after this one. The one that really sticks out to me is BioShock's, the film, the reduced budget. Mm-hmm. I get that a story can look pretty good in Rapture. Rapture is a very, very good environment to tell a story. It's a very, very good environment to tell a story. But, I think that it needs a certain level of scale to make it a true, like, BioShock experience. And if you're going to just make it, like, a 1920s with, like, some water instead of, like, a skyline, like, that's not going to really sell me a lot on the film. I know technology's better. They can probably get away with a lot more with a lot less. But, yeah, BioShock's, like, a very thematically, like, strong movie. And it's about, like, society as a whole. And I feel like it's going to be harder if they're going to reduce the budget and not give us the scale and the resources we need to tell that kind of story. But what do you think?
I mean, it could be good or bad, right? To me, it all depends on what story are they going to tell. Are they going to tell a reimagining of just Bioshock 1? Or are they going to actually like give us a type of Fallout Amazon Prime TV show where it's set in the same universe but like its own unique story?
Now I'm thinking more unique story. Now I'm thinking after all that stuff. Yeah. It has to be.
I mean, Netflix has some good stuff with Castlevania and that League of Legends anime, but those are animated. They're not... They haven't done any live action stuff, so it's...
They haven't proved their live action gaming chops because The Witcher, they kind of fucked up too. So, if they're going to go that route, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, see, like, season one of The Witcher had its moments, and, like, the only critique of it that I had was the fact that they just tried to do something that was like, oh, let me tell a story that's all out of order. And it's like, dude, just give us from fucking point A to point B. There's no need to try and be, you know, fucking cool with flashbacks, and all of a sudden Geralt's in a whole nother fucking area the next episode. It's like, dude, just tell a fucking story from A to B.
You have a source material right there. Right there. That's pretty good fucking whatevs. And then also, just to fall back on, I think Fallout London looks interesting. I've heard a lot of reports of some jank. So,
yeah,
I mean, a lot of jank reports. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, there's...
It's fans.
It is a fan mod, and kudos to the guys who did it and the dedication, but, like, to me, I'm just more of a, like, I like those kind of mods, but I'm not going to go out of my my way right now to, like, download it, look how to play it, and all that, because it just seems like, from what I've heard, is there's a lot of workaround if you don't have GOG, and I have all my Fallouts on Steam, so, yeah.
You're like, sorry, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool, don't get me wrong, like, I'm all about the fan-made mods and shit, but... Yeah, I mean, I've heard mixed things as well. Like, people are like, fuck, you know, once I get it running, it's cool, but it's a pain in the ass to get running, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna be on the Xbox either, that 5 gig fucking limit right there, so we'll have to wait for Fallout 5 until then. Now, that was quick bits right there, and then we had, you know, went off there a little bit on Bungie.
But real quick, though, what do you think about the DLC characters announced for Mortal Kombat 1, though?
Oh, Ghostface and C1000. Honestly, that's actually a really good fucking set. That's a very, very good set,
I would say. It's good.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that it caters more to our crowd and not the new kids, but...
Who gives a shit? Our crowd. I think it's good for our crowd. Whatever.
Gen Z suck it, you know what I mean?
Gen Z, how much do they like Mortal Kombat, really? Like, we were there for the movies and, like, the fucking lawsuits. Listen to our Horrible People's Podcast episode on Mortal Kombat for more of our experience with the legacy of that particular series, because, god damn, that's a good one. Yeah. Oh,
I think that that's a good-ass... DLC pack. I'll probably buy it when it comes out. The only one that I'm a little iffy about is Sektor and Cyrax.
I was thinking Sektor, actually. Cyrax is fine. Cyrax is cool, but Sektor...
Well, no, because they made them human. They were never human before. They were always cyborgs, and now they made them
humans. They did?
Yeah, they made them humans in robot suits, so but...
I don't know about that one. Yeah.
But Ghostface, Noob Saibot, Conan, and T-1000, I'm there for, dude.
They don't look that bad. So yeah. I get it. It'd be fine. See, the T-1000, though, that's going to be some shit. That's going to be a good, good time. Well, speaking of maybe not good times for gaming.
Oh, I thought you were going to say good time. I was like, oh, damn.
No, definitely not that one. I did quick, so you go ahead with this one.
All right. So we got the, is it SAG-AFTRA or is it SAGFATRA? I don't know.
Just SAG-AFTRA. I think it's fine.
You're the Hollywood boy, dude, so you tell me. So, we have a SAG-AFTRA strike in the gaming world, ladies and gentlemen. Shit. So, negotiations over AI protections for video game actors have broken down, leading to another major strike for the SAG-AFTRA, I guess, union? Association?
Union.
Association,
yeah.
So, over 160,000 video game actors are being prevented from working on new video game projects and impending ones. These protects, which I will correct to projects, because Fwen wrote this.
Whatevs.
These projects would be voice and motion work, with SAG-AFTRA asking that actors' voices and emotions not be replicated or adjusted without the performer's consent. The last SAG-AFTRA video game strike was in 2016 and lasted 11 months, earning performers fixed rate increases, improved safety assurances on set, and better oversight to prevent vocal stress in vocal performers. I did not know that.
Yeah, they did a strike for a little. We didn't know because the gaming industry was like, whatever, dude, we got like 10 fucking games in our catalog already ready to go. Like, it's fucking fine. Yeah. The lack of stress, though, I think is very important for voice actors because, like, you know, if you're not protected, they're going to push you or fire you. And, like, that's not good. But, yeah, this AI shit, I would say they made an interesting point. They're like, some of the motions had to be distinguishable for that particular actor for us to consider that a protection. Otherwise, it's just motion work. And that happens all over the place. Like, that's not as big a deal. Voice work, though, I think definitely needs to be way, way more protected because that's a very clear person's identity being digitally replicated right there. Likeness, obviously, too. But, like, yeah, AI is only going to get better and it's only going to screw more people out of work. And these people, like, work their asses off to even just get this gig. It's not an easy fucking gig. Yeah. So, yeah, I say stick it to them. It's fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, wasn't it, I think it was it Obi-Wan on Disney Plus where they used AI, James Earl Jones, instead of the actual James Earl Jones? And it's like, give the man some money if you're using his fucking voice. Like,
yeah.
And I think that should apply to video games as well, because one thing that we didn't put in here, though, was that I believe in the beginning people were saying that this may affect Grand Theft Auto 6, but I believe it was confirmed that it won't affect Grand Theft Auto 6?
It won't. That's the last thing that I saw. Like, they managed to get enough, I guess, of it done, so they'll be fine. They're in a whole different stage beyond voice acting at this point.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 over 10 years ago, Steve Ogg, you know, he's like, he is Trevor. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that if anything in the future comes out with Trevor, that man would be paid because he's the one who brought the character to life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing with AI nowadays, right? Is where, like, they have that basis to build on. And if you keep doing Trevor stuff, I'm just using him as an example. Like, if you keep using Trevor stuff, but, like, Steve Ogg isn't getting paid, then, like, that's, to me, that doesn't seem right.
No, especially since, like, the foundation of the character was built by this person, along with the writers and everybody else. Like, it's their own iconography. If you take that away from them, then, like, yeah, it's some bullshit, I say, for sure.
So, I mean, I get it. Like, I don't think, so far, it hasn't been announced that any games are getting, like, canceled or, you know, like,
delayed or
because of this. But I hope, you know, like, give them what they're worth, dude. Don't fucking, that's, to me, some of those, you know, motion captures and all that stuff, like, that's just like actors that are acting in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're translating the emotions and the you know, the acting to a digital medium, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing, to actually bring a very good point, because their actual performance physically can be repurposed in animations. And that's where it's like a whole different fucking ball game right there. Now, again, people have created animations and did motion capture before and been able to, like, utilize it in different ways. Look at Assassin's Creed. They reuse animations all the time. And it makes sense. But if the performance is distinctive to a certain actor that no one else can do, then it becomes a different issue. But, you know, we'll see as these negotiations go along. The 11 months seemed like a big deal then. Now productions are a lot more expensive and fewer and further between. So that could hurt a little more, I think. But
yeah, I know I've talked about this before in previous episodes, but I cannot recommend highly enough those behind-the-scenes videos for The God of War 2018 and The Last of Us, like, making of. Because those two or three videos that I've seen, I think The Last of Us series was called Grounded on YouTube, and the God of War one was called Raising Kratos.
Yes.
Like, dude, like, I watched those, and I just wanted to see what they were about, like, in the first couple minutes, but I got sucked in. They're over, I believe they're both, like, 45 to maybe an hour long. But dude, like, you see what these people go through to like bring these characters alive, right? Like Kratos,
yeah,
the actor that plays Kratos, Christopher Judge, like, homeboy is in there acting. Like, mm-hmm. he is there crying over a fucking, you know, in a suit that has a whole bunch of balls all over it, but he's like, he's there in the moment. So,
yeah.
Yeah, these people are just like, you know, they're not just like, oh yeah, here, we'll pay you $50 for the day. Fuck that. Like, mm-hmm. not give them their dues. Like, I agree with them striking. Like, if they're going to be trying to push that AI shit, then fuck all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, fuck that. So. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, some artificial replication of that shit. Nah. Nah, nah.
Yep.
Nah, nah.
Yep, exactly.
Says our U.S. champ. Anyway, so I'll go with this next one because this one actually hurts me very deeply. Yep.
Hurts a lot.
Game Informer shuts down. That's right. After more than 33 years of gaming coverage, Game Informer has been shut down by parent company GameStop in a move that was a surprise to employees at the publication. The latest issue was around 70% complete when the closure was announced. GameStop announced the shutdown on the official Game Informer X/Twitter account with a goodbye statement thanking readers for being part of its quote-unquote epic quest. The staff of 13 have stated that they had nothing to do with the statement and are convinced it was AI-generated.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of, the X account was deleted soon after, erasing a long, long history. Decades of internet coverage. No word on what's next for the former staff members of the now defunct website and publication. Discuss. Ooh.
So this is pretty fucking shady.
Yeah.
Because I read that the writers of these articles going back 33 years cannot even access their own work.
No. The website's completely done. Everything.
That is fucking crazy to me.
Like, yeah, it's been scrubbed.
Oh, God, like, this is why I don't shop at GameStop anymore. Like,
no, it's done. I'm completely done with that place, to be honest with you. It's way behind me.
Yeah.
But, man, I gotta say, I had, you know, this is sad. This is terrible. We've been shitting all these companies. GameStop's definitely as bad as everything else. But take a moment here to reflect that Game Informer was one of our most fundamental gaming, I think, publications growing up. Like, it was the prestige one. Everyone else wasn't as prestigious to me as these guys.
Yeah, there was, I think, three magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And to pull a little page from James's book, you see, kids, back in the day, we used to have to get our news from gaming magazines.
That's right. Yep, we used to have to wait every month for it to come in, or you would go to the store and be like, I want that one.
Yeah, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember there was three gaming magazines that I always went to Barnes & Noble's, or I always went to the fucking 7-Eleven gas station. Fucking Stater Brothers had a magazine section.
Stater Brothers had the good one.
Mm-hmm. So there was three. The one was Nintendo Power, of course. One was called PSM, which was PlayStation Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was Game Informer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Game Informer was my go-to for, like, everything.
Yes.
It specialized in anything and everything. They would always have the exclusive articles about, like, the gameplay elements. I remember Enrique, the very first time that I ever talked to Enrique was in high school, and he had the God of War Game Informer.
Ooh, yeah, I remember that one.
We were in restaurant class, and he pulls it out, and he's like, hey, you play games? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, check this game out. And I looked at it, and I remember seeing, like, God of War.
Bam!
Like, yeah, I was like, that shit looks awesome, dude. And then next thing you know, like, we're still, even though he hates me nowadays, but we're still buds. Fucking 20-something.
It's okay. Everybody hates you. It's fine, dude.
Yeah, you know, here we are fucking 20-something years. Almost going on, what, 25 years later.
Yep.
You know?
We're fucking old. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. 2004, 2005 and shit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 years later, and here we are, you know, and then Game Informer's no more.
Game Informer, if you really bring up a good point, though, it was the one that, like, had everything. Like,
yeah.
I would always trust, if there was a 10 in Game Informer, which was super rare, I was like, that's a real 10. That's a genuine fucking 10 right there.
I trusted them before GameStop bought them.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite gaming memories ever was seeing their coverage for years of Resident Evil 4. They had to show the E3, they showed the Hookman, they showed all these other versions of the game. And you didn't hear about it forever, and then they dropped this one fat, giant issue of the version that we know now of Resident Evil 4. And they outlined the village scenario, the change in zombies, and like everybody was freaking out about it. And I was like, this is the most amazing shit. This is the first time I've ever seen the over-the-shoulder camera, and I was in screenshots in Game Informer with Leon's fucking laser sight, and they kept telling you, like, it controls like the OGs, but it's not the OGs. They're like, trust me, this is gonna change some shit. And once we finally got a chance to play it, it was like, they were right.
Yeah, I
tell your sister they were right.
I always remember their fucking end of the year magazine, of the year edition too, where they would just list off like, oh, here's the top 50 games of the year or top 100 games of the year, right? Like, I always love that shit.
Do you remember their extra April episode they would do, Game and Farcer?
Oh yeah, the April Fool's joke.
The April Fool's one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That one was always fucking comedy too.
That shit was amazing.
They have some absolute banger fucking artworks, cover art, I should say.
Oh my god, dude, absolutely.
The Halo 3, when it was called Halo 3 Recon, before it was called ODST, I remember that fucking edition. And, you know, it's just like, it's the ODST
Oh yes, I remember that too.
Yep, just looking like, you know, he looks like Master Chief, but he's just looking off into the distance. But I remember that.
He looked a little skinnier. You're just like, whoa, this is a little pipsqueak right there, dude.
Yep. So, I haven't shopped at GameStop for about, I want to say the past three years. No, actually before COVID, dude, like fucking 4 years. I haven't shopped there. And I always encourage, like, my family not to shop there.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, they're like, hey, I need to go buy a game. Do I go to GameStop? I'm like, no, stay far away from GameStop.
Amazon, Best Buy, you got plenty of options.
Yep. I'm like, I would rather choose Best Buy over GameStop nowadays. I would rather go to fucking Target than Best Buy. I mean, I'm sorry, than GameStop.
Hey, Target's pretty cool.
and it sucks because I distinctly remember I would always, like, hit you guys up, too, and tell you, like, hey, dude, like, GameStop got fucking buy two, get two free fucking Wii games right now. Remember that? I just bought fucking Paper Mario, fucking
It's because they had to make room for the Funko Pops, okay? They had to make room for the fucking Funko Pops and no Game Informer magazine. So, like, no, you get the only the digital out. The magazine aspect of it is what made it awesome.
Yeah, their little pro edition, right? And if you want any more proof of how fucked up this company is, if you were to try to sign up for the game, what is it called? GameStop Pro now?
Yeah.
They increased the price about that, I don't know, like last year or something?
Yeah, some recently did it again, so yeah.
Yeah, their website is still advertising that you'll get digital issues of Game Informer. So that shows how fucking horrible that company is. So
yeah, pretty bad. Ugh.
Yeah.
Man, and just to bring up some more pain, when I got back from college, I had to make room for, like, stuff to move boxes. Or, like,
you got rid of them, didn't you?
I got rid of years.
Oh.
Years of Game Informer. It's like, I'm not going to read this.
Oh, boy.
Dude, to this day, it's one of the hardest thing. And I don't even know, I'm looking at the fucking box right now, and I'm like, this piece of this thing held years of my life that I waited every month. I'm like, this is the one. Like, holy shit. When they did the Wind Waker review and all this shit, I was like, yeah, that is my kind of game right there. Yep. It told me early on about the deal that was going to be for if you reserve, you get the Master Quest, and I got the fucking Master Quest and all this shit because of Game Informer.
Mm-hmm.
They were such a big point of gaming for everyone growing up. To see them shut down like this, get everything deleted, is the fucking worst. So, fuck GameStop. I'm pissed now. I'm pissed. I'm just like you were with the Bundy story right there. I'm losing it.
See?
Fucking losing it.
Yep. See, this is how chapped I get for fucking, like, that passion.
Yeah, this is bullshit. a chappy episode right now. Fuck. All right, will you take this is another bad one. Fuck. All right, we're going to have fun after this. I swear. We're going to have fun after this, but this one's pretty shit also.
Yeah.
It's a leaky rumor mill time. This is not confirmed. It's not confirmed. But man, it seems likely. So please,
we got you know, it seems like every other fucking month we talk about this piece of shit company and this piece of shit person. But
this is even shittier than normal, though. This is pretty good.
Yeah. So the leaky rumor mill to this episode is Warner Brothers is considering selling its stake in the gaming division. Warner Brothers Discovery is in a tough financial bind as they are considering splitting the company yet again and dividing assets within the company. Mm-hmm. And one victim of this may be the video games division. Oof. Publishing titles such as Mortal Kombat, Hogwarts Legacy, the games division is a big money maker. And a big money sink, though.
Suicide Squad.
Fwen's boy, David Zaslav. And the other top execs are weighing selling off the division to provide the parent company more cash for alternative projects.
Yeah, specifically to, like, boost the cash value of the company so they can sell it or split it as a whole. Because they are also trying to bring HBO back as its own service and separate it from Max and Discovery. So they basically clusterfucked their whole business plan. Like, seriously.
Yeah. I don't know how many times we can say this over and over again. But it's crazy, but it's almost like if you just make a good fucking game with everything in the game that you can just unlock without the need for stupid fucking passes or stupid seasons, that people will buy it.
Mm. I mean, people buy the seasons and passes too, but for a much smaller amount of games. People don't have time to sink this shit into a variety of games. Sunk cost.
Yeah. Let's just be real here. There's no game can come out now and beat Fortnite at its own
mark. Yeah, precisely. Right? Yeah, and then, let alone Suicide Squad. Which, yeah. It wasn't even a big box office maker to begin with.
Yeah. So, Suicide Squad, we have talked about just ad nauseum in this.
Yeah, so we don't need to cover it too much.
Yeah.
But, like,
since the inception of this podcast.
Yeah. It's just, to me, this is, like, all a mark of, like, Zaslav as, like, he's, like, he really went over his head, I think, on this one. Because he's not providing value. Like, their stock has been shit. Their debt's getting worse, like, and they're making these really dumbass moves. If you can have the biggest selling game of the year and still consider, like, well, maybe we don't actually need this, you've made some bad fucking moves.
And remind me again, I know we've talked about this before, but remind me again, Fwen, why was Hogwarts Legacy the best selling game of 2022, I believe?
Because they gave everybody what they've been asking for years and didn't milk them.
Yeah,
people were just happy to play the fucking women were playing this game left and right, man. And
it's almost like if you just
it's okay, we don't gotta get repetitive, I know.
But, like, you make the game, people like the game, they want more of the game, so you make a DLC for that game to hold them over.
They didn't give us a DLC,
a sequel. Yeah, they didn't even give you DLC for fucking Hogwarts Legacy.
They gave you costumes and shit. It's because they want to do all the stuff for the sequel, which now is in jeopardy, or it's probably going to be given to some other company. So they're not, the way this is going to work, listeners, it's not, these games aren't going to die. Not all of them, at least. What's going to happen is they're going to piecemeal them to the highest bidders. So they're going to be going, these rights to these gaming franchises are going to fall to sometimes reliable publishers, but sometimes not. And, so you really don't know.
And they're going to just slap on fucking stupid cosmetic season passes for you to just play a game and then be like, I can't play anything else, but I'm paying money for this game to get costumes. Fuck that. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's most likely going to happen.
Because Mortal Kombat 1 has free seasons, right? I get it. It's a fighting game. Why the fuck do I have seasons in my fighting game where if you were to give me shit to work towards to unlock for free, like the old Mortal Kombat, I would play it a lot more than a fucking 60-day season where I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to play this game every fucking day for 60 days to unlock a new costume. That's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, but they're not going after you. They're going after the whales, man. They already got your 60. Yeah. They're trying to get skim a little off the top. That's how it's working, all right? We're in a different zone right now. Game Informer would have shat on this back in the day, I'm telling you. They probably did recently, too. Who the fuck knows?
Damn it.
But yeah, no, that was okay. That was three bad stories. And actually one big one in the really not a lot of great stuff, but
yeah, but you know we're about to get to some great stuff right now.
Absolutely, because adrenaline.
I was gonna say So I was gonna say, I don't know about you, fam, but I feel like some adrenaline.
Did they get it right? Summer Slam Edition, baby. That's right. Because GQ had this wonderful little video with our boy, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
What is he, though, fam? Is he the WWE Undisputed Champion?
That's right. Undisputed Champion, who happens to be a big fucking gamer. A big, big gamer. So he ran through his top five games of all time because he always has a Switch on him whenever he travels. And he was like, well, you know, that's for on the go, but I'm going to go ahead and just give you a fucking history of the games that I like while I'm fucking here. And he gave us some. I'm going to read them from bottom to top. So his number five is Ghost of Tsushima. His number four, 2001's OG Halo Combat Evolved, or Evolve, as it says right here.
Oh, my God. Fuck. No,
fuck. Number three is actually Red Dead Redemption 2. Number two is the PlayStation OG Metal Gear Solid. And, of course, number one, much to his dispute with Stone Cold Steve Austin, is The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And if you didn't know, Steve Austin prefers Breath of the Wild. So this is a debate that they've had. But, yeah. Did Cody get it right in his top five games? What do you think?
I see no problems here.
Not the same. Same.
I was actually surprised by the Ghost of Tsushima, and that's kind of why I wanted this in here, because me and James have talked about Ghost of Tsushima. You know, it's a fucking, to me, it's one of the most, like if there's a PlayStation 4 game that I can recommend to someone, like, just, I can only pick one. Like, Ghost of Tsushima is in that fucking conversation. Like, it's so just like, it's, oh, like, Sucker Punch just, like, hit it out of the park. I mean, I think the only thing that I've ever seen critiques about Ghost of Tsushima is that, like, the stealth is, like, kind of light. It's a light Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Which,
you know, me and James have argued about that numerous times, where he says that he thinks it's fine. I would have liked a little bit more depth in it, just because I do
like, you quite like your stealth. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoy my stealth games. So, you know, but I'm not going to tell someone like, oh, you know what? That game's a fucking, nah, I'm never playing that game again. Like, I was literally just telling my son about this. I'm like, you know what? I just have an itch to play that game from beginning to end again. But this time,
I love games that do that. Seriously, right?
Like,
yeah,
and I'm just like, I want to play it in the black and white mode with the Japanese subtitles on this time, just because I want to, like, experience that mode. And, you know, so I agree with him. Like, Ghost of Tsushima, oh man, like, it deserves to be on a list like that.
Yeah, and Halo, it's with this big fucking list of games too.
Yeah, yeah, and so before I go up the list more, I am surprised that he doesn't have like a Mario type of game on here. So I mean,
yeah,
you know, some people may be offended at that, at that little cancellation or omission.
To me, he seems so much more like, I'm sure if there was a Mario game on there, it would be like Mario 64, and it would be like number 7 or 8. Like, it would be like that. He's definitely an old school kind of guy, but he crosses generations with this list, which is what I really appreciate, actually. Yep. But he favors the old school for sure.
Yeah. And Halo, of course, I agree with Halo would be on my top five because because of what it did for not only the genre of first person shooters on consoles, but just like my personal experience with it. I mean, you know, I can still recall vividly the Halo LAN parties that we used to have, not only at my house, but at your house, making 2 a.m. runs to fucking a.m. p.m. to get chicken sandwiches.
When I'm sharing the Game Informer magazine, telling you guys all coming up to it. Yep. What a different time, baby.
You know, like, it's like, and it's, I've shown Nate pictures of LAN parties, and I'm like, yeah, see, back in my day, we didn't have this online gaming. I'm like, our friends used to get together and bring their fucking huge ass CRTVs and bring the consoles into each other's houses and play that shit until fucking 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's like either you split screen Blood Gulch and you have this long fucking fight that's still really fun because it's all shots or snipers and pistols, or you hook it all up and you play Blood Gulch like a fucking man with all your bros with everybody in there.
Yep. Yeah. I'll never, you know, the fucking one of my best gaming moments is just, you know, getting hit up at school one time, high school. Someone came up and was like, you know, like, hey, I hear you play Halo. And I'm like, yeah, me and my friends. And they're like, oh, well, me and my friends are like the best. I'm like, oh, that's cool, dude. And then they were like, yeah, your brother said that we can just roll up. I'm like, yeah, roll up this weekend, dude. We'll have a LAN party. And then, like, they show up and just me, my cousin Jake, my brother, our friend Andy, 4v4 against, like, some dudes from the football team. And we just shut them out on shoddy snipes 50-2, dude. It was like, oh.
Damn.
It was, yeah, the guy, well, you know, one of the football players started yelling at his own teammates saying, like, you know, you're making me look bad and shit like that. But, you know, like.
But that's the kind of shit you would do back in the day. Like, you know, there was that or gangs. That was a better alternative for sure. Yeah, you could just, like, especially where we grew up, it was that or gangs.
Yep,
guess what?
Sierra way.
La Sierra, that's right.
Yep.
So. Halo's one of the challenges. Obviously Smash Brothers too, but that was like real niche for we were really pushing it at that time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 is the most recent is it? I think it's more recent than Ghost of Tsushima, I believe.
Maybe around the same time.
Maybe a year before or something, but Red Dead Redemption 2, definitely. You know, my only critique of that game that I've talked about time and time again is that it's a little too long.
I agree. No, I'm with you on that one. I actually prefer one. But, I mean, to me, Red Dead series, like, you don't lose. You can pick one or two, and it's completely understandable why you would pick that. I know a lot of people that really, really love two and never even played one.
Yeah. I agree. And then, you know, Metal Gear Solid, of course, top three for me. I mean, the OG one, like, the first time I ever experienced that game, it was on a Pizza Hut fucking demo disc.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Back in the day when Pizza Hut used to give us demo discs with our pizzas.
I remember.
So, yeah, and then, of course, Ocarina.
And you get the Casper toys, too, everything, dude. It all comes together.
I see nothing wrong with Cody Rhodes' The American Nightmares top five video games of all time.
No, I respect it for putting Zelda Ocarina of Time is number one. He seems like an Ocarina of Time guy. I don't know what. There's something about him. I can see little Cody Rhodes playing on a fucking CRT while his dad's out there fucking getting his ass kicked. And his dad brings him the gold cartridge of Ocarina of Time. And he is just, like, just in the fucking zone. Because, I mean, Metal Gear Solid and Ocarina of Time are two from both different consoles that were warring at the time. But they were both, like, the fundamental games that define that console experience, along with a couple others, obviously, like Mario 64, Final Fantasy 7, like but like Ocarina of Time is one of those, like, it's ranked up high so much in game rankings to this day for a reason, you know. It's Dark Souls gets their combat from Ocarina of Time, and Metal Gear Solid, you have a whole genre jocking Metal Gear Solid. So of course, Cody, you know what, I think this motherfucker got it right.
I feel like, you know, if I was better at saying, like, doing impressions, I would give a whoa right now. But I feel like this, did they get it right? The whoa edition? Yeah.
I feel good. You know
what? Yeah. We need more of these, though. I want to see Roman Reigns' top five video games.
Oh,
I want to see the Tribal Chief's top five video games. Mm-hmm. Give me...
He's like Def Jam Fight for New York. Def Jam Fight for New York.
Give me Seth Rollins' top five video games. I'm sure it's going to be like Rock Band fucking.
Oh my God. Seriously. Rollins had like the weirdest indie fucking games too. He's just like, World of Goo on the Wii, man. What the fuck? He's like, ah, it's a good fucking game.
Yep. You know what? Give me some some out of left field video wrestlers too. Yeah. Top fives. Like I would love to see fucking, LA Knights, give me Jey Uso's too. You know, his would probably be like Tony Hawk, Cool Borders.
Yeah.
Fucking.
LA Knight would be like an 80s fucking guy. It's like fucking Tron back in the day. Baby. Mario Duck Hunt. I was a shooting on Duck Hunt.
Yep.
Yeah. So, watch Seth Rollins, like his last meal video, and you can see kind of the variety of the kind of guy he is. Because he's grew up in a Mexican family. Mom's white, and his daddy was raised with this Mexican, so he gets, like, you're like, wow, this guy eats, and, like, everything. It's fucking insane. He's like, oh, he's a fucking pozole, he's a sushi guy, he's all this shit. I can see him having a good game list. I don't know why.
Yep. Same. Yeah. So, overall, did Cody Rhodes get it right? Yeah, he did.
He certainly did. Absolutely. That's our fucking undisputed champ, baby.
Yep.
And, of course, now we are at our What Are You Playing section. We're going to end here. I couldn't find an absurd headline.
Well, I think I was going to tell you, I got a quick little one that we can talk about. It's about a From Software
title. At the end. Let's take it at the end. That's good.
Yeah.
Take it at the end. Jesus Christ. Anyways.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. We're running towards the back end of this episode here.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. We've got to push through. In terms of what I'm playing, I actually, I've been going through a lot lately with housing stuff and there's been a lot going on. So I haven't really a lot of time to play, but one thing I've been able to fit in pockets of time is I found my old DS and I found Pokemon Emerald.
Oh!
And oh boy, out of nowhere, and this is just playing within pockets of moments, like it's a portable system. I put fucking like 12, 13 hours in this bitch already.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Emerald, and it's the OG. Like it's not any remake or whatever. It's just a straight 16 or 32-bit GBA game. This game is probably the best Pokemon game. Like it really is. Like just a standout, great selection of Pokemon, right difficulty. It moves fast. Those Game Boy Advance games moved fast. They move faster than the DS ones. So I'm burning through this one, and I'm having the fun. I can't put it down sometimes. This is my nighttime game. When I really need to relax, I'm putting this. I'm not doing Elden Ring. I'm not playing Luigi's Mansion. I'm not playing Paper Mario. None of that at all. Literally stopped because I couldn't focus. I need something just to have while I'm doing research.
Get your quick little
fix. This is the kind of game that is perfect for that, especially got the nostalgia for it. So Pokemon Emerald. Yep. Thumbs up. If you can emulate that shit. Play it however fucking way you want. I thankfully have one of the original cartridges. That battery is dead. It tells me every day you can't do day and night shit. I'm like, fine. Doesn't matter.
Fucking replace it, Fwin.
Oh, no. I'm going to let it live. Let it live its life. Yeah, it's all good. What are you playing?
So I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, it's been very busy with summer and the kids going back to school and just summer vacations going on, you know, out of town and things. But I got two little quick fix games that I've been on the Steam Deck. And one of them, I believe I've talked about before, is the Hotline Miami 2 and the Hotline Miami series. And I first played this on the Vita, but I rebought them on my Steam Deck just because I wanted, you know, I want everything in one handheld. I don't want to carry a bunch. But I recently started playing that again. And oh my God, dude, like that game is like a rogue light on cocaine.
Like Miami. Yes.
It's like, you know, it's the story makes no fucking sense. It's like I've tried to play it and follow the story, and it's like, you know, there is a story there, but it's kind of like, God, dude, the guys had to have been snorting cocaine when they did fucking this story.
Oh, 100%.
Dude, like, yeah, the gameplay is like, it's so addictive. I fucking love it. I'm playing that right now for quick little spurts. And then a game that I bought, man, like years ago when I first got my Steam Deck that I always heard people talking about, but I never got around to playing, that I recently started playing, is Loop Hero.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Loop Hero, it's on the Switch as well. It's on PC and things like that. But it's basically a roguelite, again, but with a randomized type of card system where there's two modes. There's the overworld mode where your guy looks literally like a fucking Oregon Trail pixel that just walks around a map, right? When he gets into battles, it just starts fighting automatically. You don't pick any attacks. You don't pick defend or anything. He just starts fighting, right? But the kick is where the micromanagement comes into play is the fact that as he beats lower enemies, you get random cards where you either equip armor to him, you equip you know, new weapons to him, you boost his stats, and then you also get cards to alter the terrain of his path.
Okay.
So you can say like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put a treasure chest right here in front of you so you can get some more, you know, equipment. Or I can put down a fucking castle in front of you that's going to give you like a buff to your defense while you're in that castle zone and shit like that. So it's a very addicting type of gameplay. And you know, it's I don't know if it's for everyone, but I personally have had a lot of fun with it in quick little 10, 15-minute increments. And, you know, it gets hectic once, like any roguelike, right?
Yes.
Where you just keep going and going and going. So those two games are the ones that are just sucking up my time. And this last one is very, very recent. I'm talking in the last 3 days recent.
Hmm.
But I may disappoint some people here, but I recently downloaded and started jumping on Call of Duty 3, Modern Warfare.
Ugh.
But check this out.
Okay.
Hear me out here, okay?
Uh-huh.
They had a limited edition mode called Call of Duty SummerSlam.
I mean, okay.
I will be posting a video to my Instagram maybe this weekend, maybe on Friday. I'll get it combined and edited. Literally, it is Call of Duty, but the only way to kill your opponents is to down them and then perform a WWE finisher on them.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay. All right. So we got the promotion goddess. We got. It happens. Yep.
So, dude, it is so fucking fun because it is so chaotic. And the only way to break up finishers is, like, to dive on your opponent, right? So... If your teammate is getting set up for the fucking crossroads, you can run over and dive on them, and it'll break up and it'll stun the enemy attacker. And then you can kill them and perform the crossroads on them and shit.
That's awesome.
It's so fucking... It was so good, but it was a limited time event.
No.
It ended today. But, dude, this whole weekend I was playing it with my cousin, my brother, my sister. Like, oh, man, my brother-in-law. Like, it was so... So fun.
You're like, boy, good boy, 619.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't buy the skins, but like the finishes you could do is the crossroads. You can hit them with a fucking chair. You can do a bulldog on them, like a Rey Mysterio bulldog. You can power bomb them, and then you can give them the mommy fucking Rhea Ripley's.
Oh, the Riptide.
Yeah, the Riptide, dude. Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
Dude, I want to get a Riptide.
Yeah, tell me. But, you know, one thing I will say is that I'm glad that I'm not a Call of Duty, like, fanatic, because I jumped in there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was running next to fucking Rick from The Walking Dead and Spawn from fucking the comic books. And then Homelander was right there and the fucking Black Noir. So I don't know when Call of Duty became fucking Fortnite.
Yeah, what the shit?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is all this? But
it's good old monetization right there, baby.
Yeah, I mean that's just one of my, like, hey, you know what? I want to hang out with my family on Call of Duty for a while and drop some Riptides and whatnot. But
yeah. Exactly. While you guys wait for SummerSlam to drop.
Yeah, and SummerSlam was lit, fam.
Yep. Dominic made the right choice.
Oh, shit!
Hot take.
Hot
I know.
Take. Very hot.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm here for the revenge tour, baby. Let's roll.
Oh boy.
Anyways, roll. Right. Lead us off with the absurd headline.
So the absurd headline is very recent as well. I'm not trying to get this podcast canceled or hit up by his fans or anything, but I guess there's a streamer he made news waves a couple weeks or months ago about streaming Elden Ring, the Kai Kanat guy, Kai Cenat, whatever.
Mm.
He recently played Bloodborne. And because of his success with the Elden Ring stream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his quote was, "I definitely have the power to bring attention onto the topic within this Souls community. I will try to push the narrative for something to happen." And this is in regards to a Bloodborne remaster or a Bloodborne PC port.
Hmm.
So, don't get me wrong. Bloodborne, I think, is up there with like the 1-2 punch for me from From Software is Elden Ring and Bloodborne. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This guy though plays one fucking Souls game and that's Elden Ring. And then he jumps into Bloodborne and this fool fucking speed runs through it. Doesn't do any of the optional bosses. Doesn't exploit to level up super fast so he can just beat the game. Mm. And then he wants to talk about how he can make it happen to get a remaster. And it's like the Reddit of this topic is people are like, dude, like we would have respected you so much more if you actually played the game and not run through it in like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like
you didn't game the game.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, streamers,
They got time, dude. They're just, people will watch them regardless. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
I just don't see the appeal of watching someone else play a video game when I can go play the same fucking video game. But
it depends if they're entertaining. But sometimes, again, when they do shit like that, I'm just like, bro, I don't even care that much. You're like,
exactly.
You're not doing, you ain't doing it right.
yep. So
yeah,
that's pretty absurd for this month. It was very contemporary, very modern. So
yeah, well, shit. Just,
you know, found that out.
That's Well, sorry for the negative episode, guys, but we had fun with that. We had fun with that list and our games, which is nice. We'll be back in a few weeks, couple weeks to get. I mean, August is typically kind of a dead month anyway, so we'll know. But we'll try to make it fun. We'll see. The gaming just is going through a weird time. All right, it's in its middle age phase right now, and boy, are they having a crisis. So with that, I am your host Anthony Fuentes. You can find me typically on the Horrible People's Podcast, but we are on a break until middle of September because we are burnt out. so you will hear from me in like 5 weeks on that one.
Damn.
But we really need the break. But in that first month, you're going to get a Resident Evil 7 episode with our NPC boys over here. And much more. I got plenty of fun stuff for Halloween, which is the best season. And it's going to be good shit. And, of course, you can find James, who's also co-host here on the network. He usually plugs his shit. I'm not going to plug it for him. He can do it himself when he gets back. What about you? What about you, huh?
I have the Instagram for gaming, Big Bang Cordova, all one word. Like I said, I will be posting those WWE finishers from the Call of Duty session that I had over the weekend. So if you guys are interested in that, maybe it'll come around, I don't know, the next Call of Duty, I guess. But yeah, it's a fun mode, so I'll be posting that shortly, and I have other clips on there and stuff like that. And then you can find me pretty much here and on the Horribles People's Podcast when they do gaming only, because that's all I know.
Yeah,
I don't know movies.
What movie would you want to watch, huh?
What movie would I want to watch?
Yeah, what genre?
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna say something very controversial. Maybe Phil will go along with it. You talk to him and then you get back to me.
All right, hit me with it. It's on air.
I think this may be on the realm of horror, but the Dark Side of the Ring, dude. No. I'm sorry. What was the one that was from fucking like the early 2000s with The Rock and the WWE, Mankind, all that shit? Well, that was called, wasn't that called The Dark Side of the Ring?
No, fuck. What was it called?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I think it was called
The Beyond Dark the Ring. Side of the... Beyond the Ring. Beyond the Ring. What?
Beyond the Ring. Oh, no. Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat.
Yeah. Tell Phil, dude.
We actually, I think, had a little bit of coverage of this in one of our previous episodes. But, you know, if you want to go on the wrestling one, we got two big wrestling ones next season.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know right, I'll let you know.
We won't spoil it here. Yeah, we won't spoil it here, but we'll talk about it.
I'm just going to tell you, we'll preview. It'll be my last Attitude Era episode for sure. And we're going to be pushing that one. And the other one, let's just say a certain story's got to get finished. So we'll talk about that. In the next season of the Horrible People's Podcast. And you're going to hear us every 2 weeks anyways, because this is a year-round show, baby. Anyways, that was the episode. Bunch of spoilers there for our season, but it's fine. Please follow Horrible People's Network to find all your favorite shows, and see you in a couple weeks. Peace.
Later.